Atem nitzavim hayom kulechem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem rosheichem shivteichem zikneichem v'shotereichem kol ish Yisrael.
OU Israel presents
in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for the double parsha called Nitzavim Vayelech. This probably is the last show of the year 5771, as next Thursday is already Rosh Hashanah. So we are now, first recording and broadcast is Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 23rd of the month of Elul, 5771. On the secular calendar, September 22nd, if you remember back in August, the dates were aligned. In September, they're one off, and in October, they will be two off. It goes like that, and it depends on whether a month has 31 days, or 30 days, or 28 days, or 29 days in the secular calendar, and it depends on whether a month has 29 or 30. In the Jewish calendar as to how the dates go into sync or out of sync. In any event, I mentioned that this is the last show for this year, and Nitzavim Vayelech is the last Torah reading of this year. It does not yet complete the cycle of the Parshiot of the Torah. We have Parshat Ha'azinu scheduled for the first Shabbat of 5772, the Shabbat we call Shabbat Shuva, the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then the final Sedra is Vizot HaBracha, which is read on Simchat Torah. And then the following Shabbat is already Bereshit, starting from the beginning. And so goes the cycle of the year, and so goes the cycle of Torah reading. Without any further ado, let us do Psalm 130, Tehillim Kuf Lamed. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim k'raticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tihyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yoh Adonai mi ya'amod. Ki imcha hasalicha lema'an tivare. Ki vi ti Adonai kiveta nafshi, velidvaro hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed v'harbe imo fedut. Vehu yifde et Yisrael, mi kol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzarao vashivya ha'omedim bein bayam, Uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem alehem, viotzieim mitzara lirvacha, umeafela laora, umishibud lagu'ula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, vinomar amen. Okay, let's take care of some technical information which might be known to some of the listeners and might be new for others. It works out in our yearly Torah reading cycle that the final Shabbat reading before Rosh Hashanah is Parshat Nitzavim. Sometimes it's combined with Vayelech, and sometimes not. Whether or not these two sedras are combined or separated depends on one thing: the day of the week of Rosh Hashanah, Actually, it depends upon the existence or not of a Shabbat between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. More often than not, there is no Shabbat between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. I'll give you the examples. This year, Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, Friday. Yom Kippur is the following Shabbat. Sukkot begins on Wednesday night, Thursday of that same week. No Shabbat between Yom Kippur and Sukkot when Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, as it is this year, and incidentally as it was last year. And that's not unusual, but that sometimes you get two in a row. Okay. When Rosh Hashanah begins on Shabbat, then you have Shabbat, Sunday is Rosh Hashanah. The following Monday is Yom Kippur, and that Shabbat is already the beginning of Sukkot. Again, no Shabbat between Yom Kippur and Sukkot when Rosh Hashanah begins on Shabbat or Thursday. The other two possibilities are a Monday Rosh Hashanah or a Tuesday Rosh Hashanah. In either case, there is a Shabbat between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Therefore, we split Nitzavim and Vayelech. Nitzavim remains the Shabbat right before Rosh Hashanah, and in that case, Vayelech on its own is the Shabbat of Shuva, the one between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so that Ha'azinu will be able to be read in this Shabbat, which doesn't always exist, the one between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. We always have to end up with Vizot HaBracha on Simchat Torah. So Nitzavim and Vayelech are flexible in that to that extent. Noteworthy is that Nitzavim and Vayelech are the shortest two sedras in the Torah. Nitzavim has 40 verses. Vayelech has 30 verses. Even combined with 70 verses, it makes for a short Torah reading. Also noteworthy are the fact that the verses, the psukim, in Nitzavim and Vayelech are the longest in the whole Torah. They have more words on average than all the other sedras. Not enough to rank them in a higher slot than the last two positions as far as length, but they're significant in the length of their psukim. I could only add that if you listen carefully when they read the Torah, you will notice the length of the psukim. But the sedras are short, and they split or combine, as I mentioned already. The other thing is how appropriate Parshat Nitzavim is to Rosh Hashanah. First of all, it serves as a nice buffer between Ki Tavo, last week's reading, which is very, very heavy in prophecy and threat of what happens if we don't follow God. Very depressing. Not the kind of feeling that you want to bring into Rosh Hashanah with you. Nitzavim, on the other hand, continues a similar theme. It does speak about perhaps you have among you people who will turn away from God, then just know that they'll be taken care of. It doesn't whitewash it. It just presents it in a different flavor, in a different tone. And it's a good lead-in to Rosh Hashanah. The the famous part that links it to is the concept of repentance, which I guess we should talk about now at some length, and the accompanying theme of free will. Let me approach this in a different way slightly. Rambam Maimonides has a section in his major halachic work, which is called Yad Chazakah, or Mishneh Torah of the Rambam, and in the first book, the Book of Knowledge, Sefer Meida, he has the last section is Hilchot Teshuvah, the Laws of Repentance. It has 10 chapters, only some of which speak about the mitzvah of repentance. The other chapters focus on two concepts which find their place in this section on purpose. They are free will and reward and punishment. These are partner concepts to teshuva, because teshuva, in fact, sinning or even doing mitzvot, would have no significance if we were programmed robots. The fact that we are human and are endowed with free will makes us accountable for what we do, more than accountable, makes us responsible for what we do, and therefore the concept of you sinned, you have an opportunity to repent, makes sense. It's got to be a free will kind of setting. A lion that attacks the straggling zebra from a herd and rips out its throat, kills it, eats and feeds his pride, is not brought up on charges in the cosmic world for what he did. It was not an intelligent, thought-out decision. It was instinct. It is we, human beings, who are the deciders of what we do, and therefore reward and punishment make sense because we have free will. And in that context, teshuvah, repentance, also makes sense. That's what Parshat Nitzavim sets down. Re'eh, God says, see, Natati lefanecha hayom, I have given before you to this day, et hachayim ve'et hatov, life and good, ve'et hamavet ve'et horah, and death and bad. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom li'avot Hashem Elokecha, again, the Torah always defines what does it mean by good, following God's word, keeping the mitzvot. And what does bad mean? Turning your back to God. But the bottom line here is, it's your choice. There is blessing and curse. There is life and death, good and evil. Uvacharta b'chayim, the Torah's recommendation. You shall choose life. Leman tichya ata v'zarecha, so that you and your offspring shall live. In order to listen to God, to love Him, to cling to His ways, to follow Him, because this is our way of life. That is the message of Nitzavim. Whatever Vayelech adds, if we get to it, we will. But remember that Vayelech sometimes is not together with Nitzavim, and therefore I'm focusing on Nitzavim as the mainstay of this final Shabbat of every single year, the one that leads us in to Rosh Hashanah. It is an inspiring Torah reading, a beautiful Torah reading. It has you got to listen to it, and you got to hope that the person reading the Torah will be the type of person who will infuse the reading with feeling. I'd like to play a musical clip now from a Yaakov Shweki album, the one of the live performance in Caesarea. The song is not particular to Rosh Hashanah, but it is. It comes from the Kedusha of every Shabbat morning and Yom Tov morning, which means we will say these words this coming Shabbat and the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah followed by Shabbat Shuva. And interesting point that I got just from choosing this piece is that the theme of Rosh Hashanah, or let's say one of the main themes of Rosh Hashanah, by far, is God's kingship. We celebrate, I don't know if that's the best word, we commemorate for sure, but celebrate God's ascension to the throne, so to speak, as King of the universe, because on Rosh Hashanah, the human being was created, and therefore God had his first subject, so to speak, and therefore he became king. On a flippant note, I always think in terms of a give and take between Jackie Gleason and Jane Meadows in The Honeymooners, where he would get angry at his wife and he would say, "I am the king and you are nothing. I am the king and you're nothing." And he'd repeat it. And finally she would say, "And therefore you are the king of nothing." In order for there to be a concept of a king, there have to be subjects. And therefore the creation of the world, which according to our tradition begins with day number one, this Shabbat, the 25th of Elul, just doing it retroactive, culminates on the first day of Tishrei with day six of creation, which is the day the human beings were created. And therefore it is also the day of coronation of the king, which we herald his coronation by the blowing of the shofar. That's one of the symbols in the shofar. That theme pervades the entire year. It peaks at Rosh Hashanah time with the main theme in the Musaf of Malchiot, with switching to HaMelech HaKadosh rather than the usual HaKel HaKadosh and HaMelech HaMishpat. And there's an emphasis on Melech, a very dramatic emphasis of God as king, but it's not something that we only do Rosh Hashanah time. Think in terms of any blessing for anything. Blessed are you, God, our God, King of the universe. Melech Ha'olam. We're always acknowledging him as the king. It's a special focus on Rosh Hashanah. In any event, in the Shabbat morning Kedusha, you have the words Mimkomcha Malkeinu Tofia, reveal yourself from your place, O our King, and reign over us, for we are waiting for you. When will you reign in Zion? May it be soon in our days, and may you dwell there forever and all time. May you be exalted and sanctified in the midst of Jerusalem, your city, from generation to generation and evermore. May my eyes see your kingdom, as it is said in the songs of your splendor, written by David, your righteous anointed one. Yimloch Hashem liolam, Elokayach Tzion, lidor vador, hallelujah. The Lord shall reign forever. He is your God, Zion, from generation to generation. A verse from Tehillim, which concludes with hallelujah. That's not part of the song, but Mimakomcha Malkeinu Tofia is, and we're asking God V'timloch Aleinu, to reign over us. Therefore, it is all year round, Shabbat, every Shabbat, focus of Rosh Hashanah. Yaakov Shweki with Mimakomcha.
Mimakomcha Malkeinu Sofia Vesimeloich Oleinu Ki mechakim ma'anachnu loch Seimu Saif Timloich B'tzion bekoroi biyomeinu. Yoilom voet, li yoilom voet, li yoilom voet, ti yishkoin. Mimikoim chol, malke yenu, soboi fiya. Yvesim loy. Olinu ki mechakim anachnu lo mosay mosay tloy etzion bekarov biyamenu liyoylom voet liyoylom voet Yoel Omvoet Ti Yishkoor It is Gadeh Besid is Kadesh Oy Besayich Yerushalayim Ilchon Leto Vuvuvtom Omvah Ulemetzah Letzorachem בשירי זכור
got a choir here מקלה הלילה ינקל רוסנר תמלוך בציון בקרוב בימינו ליוילום בועט ליוילום בועט ליוילום בועט תישקור
have been listening to Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Nitzavim Vayelech, also the pre-Rosh Hashanah show. So let's pick up on a theme that we mentioned, the important theme called Teshuvah, repentance. Literally, Teshuvah means return. And that's significant because in the context of Parshat Nitzavim, the Torah speaks of two types of returns. And returning and blends them together. One is turning your back on God and returning to Him, and the other is having been exiled to return to the land of Israel. That is considered a partner kind of concept, so that there is a national as well as individual flavor to the topic of return, and it really includes both to the Torah and to the land of Israel. And in that context, let's go into talking about Teshuvah itself. There are different ways of analyzing. The one that I like is as follows. There are five stages or steps or factors, maybe that's a better word, to the process of repenting. The first is called Hakorat Hachet, recognition of a sin. A person has to be aware, be made aware, or self-awareness, that something that he is doing is wrong. Simple example, he's been eating a certain food for years and years and years, and then finds out that it's not kosher. So, we're not now speaking of an intentional violation, but nonetheless it's inadvertent, at least, and the person has to recognize that it was wrong. Putting it in a different example, a person joked around about one of his coworkers all the time, teased him about something, all in good-natured fun, and then finds out that it was very demeaning to the person, and he felt bad whenever you did that, and you were not aware of it. You have to become aware that you're doing the wrong thing. Hakarat hachet. Recognition that what you're doing is wrong. It could be something that you did intentionally also. You didn't keep Shabbat. You turned on and off lights on Shabbat. At a certain point, when a person wants to repent, he has to acknowledge and understand and realize that what he has been doing is forbidden, is wrong, period. Next comes Hafsaka. You have to stop. You can't recognize that something is wrong and just keep on doing it. These can be seen as the first two steps in repentance. It could be a prerequisite. Either way you want to look at it. Then comes regret for the past. Charata al ha'avar. A person has to say, I did things, I'm sorry that I did them, I feel bad that I did them, and I want to turn over a new leaf. Which leads to the next factor, called Kabbalah al Ha'atid, acceptance for the future. I know it was wrong to copy proprietary computer programs. I stopped doing it. I feel bad that I had been doing it in the past, and I won't do it anymore in the future. That's Kabbalah al Ha'atid. These are considered necessary components of repentance. And then comes vidui bapeh, verbal confession. The Rambam and many others teach us that even though sin is something that God knows about without you saying it, it shouldn't stay inside. A person needs to verbalize a process of tshuva by saying, Ona Hashem, please God, I have sinned and I have done such and such. I stopped doing it. I regret having done it. I won't do it anymore. That verbalization of all of the above is part of the tshuva process as well. I heard once from Rabbi Shlomo Riskin something that had a big impact on me, and that is that vidui bapeh, verbal confession, is not only the culmination of a tshuva process. Very often it is the initiator of the tshuva process. A person gets to Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur has a strong emphasis on vidui, verbal confession, and he says something, and that which he says triggers in his mind that he has failings in that respect. I'll give you a hard example. Al chait shechatonu lefanecha, for the sins we have sinned before you. Al zilzul horim umorim, for the cheapening, the demeaning of parents and teachers. That leads a person to ponder, sometimes saying those words, to ponder whether he is guilty of that himself. He still says these words because he's praying in plural, and certainly there are people who are guilty in various levels, to various extents, in all of the different kind of sins. But it hits home. He realizes that he has not been treating his parents well, or he has not been treating his teachers well. And that puts him on a pathway to sincere return. I want to explore another aspect of this concept of repentance. And I need to address a very wide range of people, because I believe there is a very wide range of people who listen to this show. There are people, I'm talking now from a halachic Torah Judaism perspective, there are people who don't keep mitzvot. There are people who don't observe Shabbat, and don't keep kosher, and don't make blessings before they eat, and Birkat HaMazon after they eat, and don't pray every day, and a whole variety of other religious standards, which not only don't they meet, but they don't do at all. I am talking then of a return or a turn towards the observance of mitzvot. A person who does not keep Shabbat, a Jew who does not keep Shabbat, should keep Shabbat. And there is no answer, but I'm not an Orthodox Jew. There is no such thing, really. A Jew, whether he likes the idea or not, is commanded to keep the Shabbat and is forbidden from violating the Shabbat. The exercise of his free will comes out in whatever he does. But it doesn't mean that is not directed towards him. Every Jew must keep Shabbat. Halachic Shabbat. There's a lot more to talk about. But that's a starting point. And that person, if he so chooses to turn towards Torah observance, needs to be educated in the proper keeping of Shabbat and practicing it until he's ready to commit himself towards it, to it. Take another aspect of Jewish life or of life in general, and here's where a point has to be made as well. I can talk about Shabbat, and that is specifically Jewish. I could talk about how you treat fellow Jews, or fellow people, let's not limit it to Jews, how a person interrelates with others. Do you look down your nose at other people? Do you speak behind their back? Do you insult them? Do you not care about their feelings? All of that is as much a part of Torah as Shabbat and Kashrut and Yom Kippur. A lot of times people don't think in those terms, but that is part of Torah Judaism as well. So if there is a person listening who says, well, Shabbat, I'm not into that and I'm not thinking about it, but this other thing about interpersonal relationships, I could relate to that, then we have what to talk about also. And there has to be a return or a turn towards proper behavior between people. Then we have to go to another aspect of this. What about someone, I'll use both examples, who basically keeps the Shabbat? What about a person who is basically decent with his fellow human beings? So now we're not talking about a complete 180-degree turn. We're talking about fine-tuning. How is your Shabbat kept? How do you spend Shabbat? Not just the checklist of, do you sew, do you bake, do you write, do you use electricity, do you light fire, whatever. If a person says, I keep Shabbat, now we need to fine-tune. Are you meticulous in the halachic keeping of Shabbat, or do you shrug your shoulders sometimes and think, does it really make a difference if X, Y, or Z? That needs fine-tuning. Go to the other aspect, interpersonal relationships. Here is a person who is truly good with his fellows. He doesn't look down his nose. He doesn't talk down to them. He doesn't insult people. He doesn't hurt their feelings. Once in a while, he slips. He makes a joke about somebody. He thought it was funny, but it insulted someone. Not as a regular behavior pattern, but a once-in-a-while thing. That needs teshuvah as well. That needs repentance as well. Your person does not say, I basically keep kosher every single day of my life. One time I decided to have a cheeseburger, and so what? It's one time out of how many times? How many meals have I eaten? We don't say that. For the person who always eats cheeseburgers and never keeps kosher, the meaning of teshuvah is different from the person who always keeps kosher and once in a rare while will slip. And it doesn't have to be a slip with a cheeseburger. It could be eating in a restaurant that didn't have proper certification. It could be taking a product that you didn't even bother looking on the label to see if it carried a certification that it was kosher. These need repentance as well. Different level. Gossip. There are people who gossip all the time. They need a major return to the proper path. There are people who avoid gossiping, and once in a while. There are thieves. And then there are people who, once in a rare while, will do something which is stealing, or like stealing, and they didn't think it was that bad. It could be, as I referred to earlier, copying a proprietary computer program. Or your friend bought a CD, and you make it into MP3 on your computer. You don't have to buy one. You have all the music already there. Not a lot to do that. And I don't want to get into now, what would you do? Would I buy it if I couldn't do this or that? Do I really want it? All excuses. We have to recognize, that's part of what I said was called hakarat hachet, recognizing something as being wrong, and then stop doing it, regret having done it, accept for the future not to do it again, and verbally confess between you and God. If it involves other people, then you have to appease the other people, and if it involves monetary things, you have to make restitution. It's a broader topic than we're able to cover in this show. But I'm trying to get across two messages at the same time. Number one, what would people would say is religious behavior versus decent human being behavior. It's all the same from the Torah's perspective. The Torah forbids eating on Yom Kippur. The Torah forbids embarrassing somebody in public. The Torah forbids doing certain activities on Shabbat. The Torah forbids hurting someone's feelings, etc., etc. So it's just a matter of which examples you want to take, but I want to also give that message to non-observant Jews that it's a good thing to re-examine and explore, no matter how many times you might have already. Look at it again. Torah is a beautiful thing. Keeping Torah and mitzvot meticulously is what God wants of us. It says it many places, but one of those places is in this week's Torah reading of Nitzavim. Let's take a musical break for a song related to Rosh Hashanah, and then we'll see what we will wrap up the show with. Mordechai Ben David with a popular tune from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur liturgy. How do I finish off this show and this year's shows? First, a pasuk in Parshat Nitzavim. Hanistarot Lashem Elokeinu v'haniglot lanu ulvaneinu ad olam. ... There are hidden mysteries in this world which we don't understand. God does. There are things that He reveals to us, and then we get an insight this is a dynamic process. Sometimes we understand more. Sometimes things escape us. This thought could be frustrating, but it's very comforting as well, because we don't have to know everything. We have to make ourselves be better people. That leads to the second point. Pirkei Avot, Rabbi Tarfon, Lo Alecha HaMelacha Ligmor. Not up to you to finish the whole job. It's a big, big job. V'lo ata ben chorin lehibatel mimena, but you are not at liberty to slacken off on the challenge, because we have to do the best we can to become better people, not just at Rosh Hashanah time, always better people, and then help our community and the entire world become a better place. This is our goal in general. And on that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, Shana Tova, Ketiva V'Chatima Tova, L'Hishtameya.